See, Barnabas was just a regular guy that got involved in church and just gave his heart to the Lord, and whatever the door opened for him, he walked in it. We saw that by his Christ-like gift. He gave something that he had, it was personal. He gave something that he had, it was sacrificial. He gave something that he had, and it was a complete gift, and it was a humble gift. And my friend, that's what God's looking for us. He's looking for us to give of ourselves, which is personal. He wants us to be a sacrifice and to sacrifice something of ourselves in order to give unto Him. Even the Apostle Paul says we ought to die daily. Amen. He says, for I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Amen. And I'm supposed to live for Him. He paid for me. I've been bought and paid for. Amen. And heaven's my home. We learn over there, also in Romans, that it's just a decent thing for me to do. It's just a decent thing for me to do. It's my reasonable service to serve the Lord because of what He's done for me. And that's what Barnabas did. So we learned about him and his Christ-like giving. We saw about his Christian-like discipleship when he worked with Saul. Of course, we learned last night that his name has changed to Paul. Amen. He went from being the second man to now moving forward to being the first man. So we learned about that. Then we learned about Barnabas, how he was then sent to Antioch. And so he was now a help in corporate leadership. He wasn't that leadership, but he came alongside them. He saw what was going on, and he encouraged the folks in the church to do the right thing. Then we see that he was then, from there, a help in the continuance of church planting. He went forth with Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. Paul had a specific role. God put inside of Paul this boldness. God had inside in Paul this zeal. It's the same zeal that he had when he was persecuting the Christians. Now he's on the other side seeing folks saved. That was Paul. The greatest evangelist, the greatest missionary, the greatest to shake the known world for God. He went through it all, my friend. But he would not have gotten there. He would have not gotten his chance fully if it had not have been for Barnabas to encourage him. How discouraging would it have been if Saul, who was at the gate, his name's changed to Paul, he was there in Jerusalem and nobody wanted anything to do with him. Ever. Ever. Would he have been the great missionary that he became? Or do you think he might have gotten discouraged and turned around and walked away? He might have. Many have. Many do. And so, my friend, may it not be said of you or of this church that folks would walk out because nobody cared. That folks would walk out because nobody showed some concern. Nobody showed a helping hand or lended a helping hand and took a Saul or Noah, amen, and brought them under their wing and to show them around the church and introduce them to people and then maybe even at the invitation to walk them down the aisle. You don't know. So you got to try. And try again. And try again. That's a Barnabas. And so Barnabas did all these things, and we saw how now he's a missionary and he's on the missionary trail and people are being saved and many people were shutting their doors, but he didn't stop. They knocked the dust off their feet and they went on to the next town. And he kept going on and on and on for the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing many people saved. Growing, churches started, commissioning pastors in the churches, and watching all this unfold in front of them. But Barnabas, he did not forget to keep the main thing, the main thing. What's the main thing? The telling of the gospel to the one. To helping the one. You see, all this has happened, and we could go back and read more verses, but we're going to just kind of boil down to open your Bible to Acts chapter 15, verse 36. I want to show you tonight that Barnabas, and it won't be long, I promise, I want to give you what I have, and I want to share this with you and pour my heart to you and then give you an opportunity to think about it and to respond. I want to share tonight about Barnabas. He was a help in constructive restoration. He was a help in constructive restoration. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. It says this, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Let's pray, shall we? As we bend our heads and open up our hearts to Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the places that You've placed us and the people that You've put in our way. And dear Lord, the brokenness that You've placed in my heart too. About America and about our churches and about our preachers, dear Lord, and about people. People need the Lord. And dear Lord, I pray tonight that there'll be someone here tonight that would see the need to become a Barnabas or to strengthen that which you have to be a better Barnabas, a helper, a paraclesis, an assistant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we love You. Lord, we do praise You. And pray, Lord, You bless this evening. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This here in this passage of Scripture that we have in Acts 15, the latter part there in verse 36 down to 39, it's the last mention of Barnabas himself. There's two other passages that I'm going to carry you to in a minute that mention Barnabas. But this is the last mention of Barnabas himself. As we started on Sunday and shared with you different things about Barnabas, I share with you, we don't know how old Barnabas is. We don't know his age. We don't know his health. We don't know his stature all that much other than the fact that he had land. He was a Levite. He was from the island of Cyprus, which was a somewhat wealthy land. And we heard all about that starting, you know, back on Sunday and a couple of times since then. And we saw his life a little bit unfold before us. And here we have this last passage of Barnabas himself. After this, we don't know what happens to Barnabas. We do know that he goes on another missionary journey. But we don't hear about that journey. I haven't come across any history and what we would call in our history or even biblical history post-Bible of anything that happened with Barnabas. I've not heard anything. I mean, somebody may come up with something. I'd be greatly interested to hear what his story tells us about Barnabas. But as far as I know, this is what we have. And what a passage to have about this great man. What a passage to have about this guy that gave himself to the Lord. He grew in the church and he did great things in the church and he was just everybody's friend. He was just everybody's helper. He was just somebody that did what needed to be done for God. And so now he's back from this missionary journey and he's there with Paul and Paul now comes to him and Paul is excited in verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, he's still using that name. They're not calling him Joseph. They're not calling him Joseph. They're saying Barnabas. You're Barnabas. That's who you are. You're the helper, man. That's who you are. And he said unto Barnabas, let us, you and me, go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Amen. Amen. I love going back to churches that I've been to. I love coming here to see who is in here. I love coming to see how taller Patrick's gotten, but Patrick really hadn't gotten much taller 2 years ago, for maybe a little bit. You know, Wesley, on the other hand, got just quite a bit taller. You saw in the picture, he was kind of halfway down in that pew. Amen? And some of you, and now together, and Ron and Rebecca in the back, had a baby since I was gone, and now they're having a second one coming along. Amen? You've adopted a hoggy pig on the back window. Man, Y'all are just doing it. Praise the Lord. Don't stop. Keep going. And so that's what Paul wanted to see. Paul went through and he had great results and he met some new people. He discipled them a little bit. And Paul said, hey, Barnabas, let's go back and let's see these folks again. So Barnabas said, yeah, that sounds like good. It sounds like a good thing. And Barnabas determined, verse 37, to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. We know him as John Mark. He's known sometimes as just John, and he's known sometimes as Mark or Marcus. It's still Mark. Tim, Timothy, Timotheus, Timmy Two Shoes. Okay? Same guy. And so here he wants to take him with them. He wants them to be a part of it. He wants them to go again with them who had been there before. And Barnabas thought it was a good thing. This guy needs help. Barnabas says, I'm a helper. I'm a discipler. I think he'll do good this time. But something happened along the way in the last journey, verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. Paul thought not good to take him with them. Now, I'm going to read a passage later. But who was John Mark? Well, we find in another passage, actually, let's see here, that's going to be in Colossians 4. We find over there that John Mark was the nephew of Barnabas. We find that he was related. So I guess Barnabas had a blood relation purpose to try to help John Mark. Meaning also, secondly, that John Mark also was of the land of Cyprus, so the kinship and the homeship. We find here about this that Barnabas is now striving to get him to come again and trying to help him again. But something happened. Verse number 38. It says, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul said, Barnabas, let's go visit the churches again. Barnabas says, sure, let's take John Mark with us again. But Paul says, No. He is not good for the ministry. He is not good for the ministry. He has left us. He has departed from us. He has left us hanging high and dry. We were counting on him. We depended on John Mark. But when we were in the Pamphylia going to the work, he did not. He turned back. Oh, my friend, there's been so many that have turned back when the going got rough. There's so many that turned back when the times got hard. There's so many that would abandon ship as if rats banding off a ship that's sinking. And he got scared. He got nervous. He guessed he didn't want to be threatened like the others were. And he saw the difficulty of the ministry and he skipped out. And now Barnabas saying, I want him back. But Paul says he's not good for the ministry. Hey, has there been somebody that came across your path that somehow you thought in your mind this guy is not good for the ministry? Is there some traits about him? There's some things about him that just kind of like, boy, man, he seems like a good guy, but I just do not see God working in him and on him. My father-in-law was got saved, he was a part of a motorcycle gang. Kind of like the Hell's Angels, but he was a part of that gang a little bit, but that gang wasn't doing anything for him, so he started his own. So he became the president of his own motorcycle gang. He's got the tattoos all over, you can see the pictures, he rode hogs. He doesn't ride them now. Kelly was 11 years old. A bus worker started coming by and knocking on their door and trying to get her to come to church. And she went to church. She got saved. She came home and told her mom, Mama, I got saved. Didn't your mama tell you to go to your room? Go to your room. Now, Mama says that she was already saved, but she was just so far away from God. She couldn't believe that her daughter was saying what she was saying. And so that kind of started working on on her dad's heart. We call him Poppy, Poppy's heart. And so he just kind of thought about it a little while, and Poppy's sister witnessed to him one more time and really laid it on the line to him. So you're going to die and go to hell. You need Jesus. You need to get saved. And one night he walked out behind the garage at the telephone pole and knelt down and got saved. He got saved. Ruffle Cobb. Tough man. He don't say a whole lot, but when he does, it's big and loud. Still does. And so he started going to church and started growing in the Lord, and he felt called upon his heart. He went to the preacher and said, "Preacher, I think God's called me to preach." Amen. And the pastor said, he said, Jim, "I don't think God's going to use you. You can't talk very well, and your background, you know, all this stuff that's on you, I don't think God's going to use you. It's no sense even trying." Now, a regular guy would have just backed away from that and said, "Okay, well, if that's what you think." You know, but God knew better, and God told him better, and Poppy said, "You know what? In his rebellious way, I'm going to do it anyways." So he goes off to Bible college. He goes off to Bible college and he learns goes to one Bible college, and he's studying there at the Bible college. Kind of find out it's one of these Calvinistic colleges. They're trying to teach him the fact that whoever's going to get saved is going to get saved. And these people that are not going to save can never get saved. And he was in one class and he said, "That's not right. That is wrong." And he was only there for what? One semester? Maybe a year? Maybe not even that. And he got out of there and went down to Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida. Got his degree. And went off and started a church. And he went and started a second one. And now he's pastoring his third one for 15 years. There in Roanoke, Virginia, which is our sending church and home church. You see, sometimes people come and you look at them and you say, that guy cannot do anything. We can never be anything. Excuse me? Who put God on your title? Who put the Creator of all things? Who put the God of who we are and can touch a heart and mold a heart? Hey, that's the guy that He's looking for. The one that's least likely to succeed in anything. God says He takes the simple to confound the wise. He takes the weak to overcome the strong. He takes the foolish. The foolishness of preaching. Amen. It's the foolishness of preaching. God's been using him, and God's been using us, and God will use you if you just give your heart to Him to do something for God. To do something. Anything. Well, He can't use me. He can't if you won't let Him. And so Barnabas was open to receive anybody that would want to. And here's a guy that got involved, and he went with him on the first missionary journey, and he kind of tagged along. When the going got rough, he bailed out. He just wasn't ready for it. It didn't make him a bad guy. It didn't make him unfit for the ministry. But here the Apostle Paul said he's not good. He's not good for the ministry. Oh, my friend. But there was a Barnabas. There was a Barnabas. You see, something happened here in this passage of Scripture because of that. Barnabas was so determined to take John Mark, and Paul was so determined not to take John Mark. It's kind of what Pastor and Jason and I were kind of talking about, saying, who's sending this conversation here that happened next? We find there, he says in verse number 38 again, "And Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." He's not good. Verse 39. "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other." Meaning that they didn't have small words. They had large words. It wasn't just a nice, meek, peaceful powwow as they sat down around the campfire one night discussing whether we should take John Mark with us or not. And they come to a just honest agreement. "No, maybe you should take him and go your way, and I shall take him and go mine." That's not what happened. It was a great argument. Who was at fault? Was either in sin? I don't know. Again, I'm not God. All I can say is, Barnabas took John Mark. What did he do with John Mark? when he took John Mark. I'll tell you what he did. It says here that so they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. I make this little simple point here, and you're not going to get an outline tonight because there isn't one. I used them all up in the earlier messages. Amen. So what happened here? Hey, I see it this way. When Barnabas took John Mark in to go, he did what Barnabas does. He disciples him. What's the first place he went to? Cyprus. Back home. He went back home. And can I tell you something, my friend? When you're running away from God, you've got to go back home first. When you got somebody that's run away from God and they're coming back into church, they got to start at square one again, my friend. They got to start back at one again. We got to really find out, did you really get saved when you came to church a while back? Did you really invite Christ to come into your heart? Yes, I did. Great. Now, did you read your Bible? Are you going to read your Bible? Are you going to grow in the Lord? Are you going to do these great things? Are you going to move forward? Are you going to stay in the same rut that you were before? Because it won't be long. You get this grudge on and you'll be gone again. Sometimes we've got to take people back home, back to the beginning, back to the starting place, and build again from there. Obviously, somewhere along the line, they got tripped up on something. They can't quite put their finger on it. You can't put the finger on it. So let's start from the beginning. Let's talk again about what we're supposed to do. Because Barnabas remembered the main thing is to keep the main thing. Amen. With one. He did it with the one. Paul said, let's go back and see those thousands that got saved. Barnabas says, okay, but I'm more concerned about the one. I'm not concerned about the numbers. I'm concerned about the one. And he stayed with that one. And he worked with that one. And again, we don't know what else happened with Barnabas. Oh, we know what happened to Paul. We know exactly what happened to Paul from that journey on, his second missionary journey, his third missionary journey, and possibly his fourth missionary journey. And so we see Paul's life, but we don't see Barnabas. Or do we? He says here that I kind of turned the thought from, you know, what Barnabas did as a helper to what he left behind. He said when we leave something behind, we leave like a legacy. We leave something behind. We sow a seed and the seed stays and we go on and the seed grows and it produces fruit and much fruit and more fruit and the fruit that remains. And then we do it again and we do it again and we do it again and the fruit remains. And though in time my life may be gone, but my prayer is that I've been able to work with some folks and to help some folks and encourage some folks along the way, that someone has stepped into my shoes next. Who will be the next generation? Who will take the place of the pastor in 60, 70 years? Amen? Who will take the place of the youth leader? Who will take the place of the deacons in time to come? Who will be sitting in this pew in 50 years from now, 60 years from now? My prayer is, if the Lord tarries, I don't think He's going to tarry, but if He does tarry, my friend, who will be here? What's happening with our churches, my friend, is that the people in the church have gotten old and they've not left a legacy behind to carry on. There are about 4,000 churches that close every year. Probably about 800 of the 4,000 are independent Baptists. But there's many more that are taking Baptists off the name and are going liberal, they're going contemporary, they're going New Age. They're going Neo. They're just gone. They're gone. I thank the Lord in the fact that they took Baptists off the name so they're not grouped with us anymore. But I'm sad in the fact that it's no longer what they were. They forgot the main thing is to keep the main thing. But what about Barnabas' legacy? Well, let's find out what happened. Open your Bible, if you will, please, to Colossians chapter 4. I gave you a little hint there. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 10. In Colossians chapter 4, verse number 10, this is known as one of the prison epistles written by the Apostle Paul. He has been incarcerated. He's writing there in prison. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He has some folks around him, not many. He's up in age, but yet he's still got some familiar folks around him. And he's writing this letter, and this is what he says in Colossians 4, verse 10. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and who? Marcus. Sister son to Barnabas, so we know who we're talking about here. Parentheses. Touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Verse 11. And Jesus, who is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my what? Fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. What does Barnabas mean? What does Barnabas mean? Comfort. The son of consolation. The encourager, the helper, the comforter. And so now these, he says, Paul says here, that of these that are now with me, they give me comfort. These that are now with me, they are together. They are my fellow workers. They are folks that are now with me and are helping me in my ministry. And one of those is Marcus. Now wait a minute. Didn't he say of Marcus that Marcus was not good for the ministry? He was not good for the ministry. But of Barnabas. He wasn't a comforter for the ministry, but a Barnabas. Got into his life. Got into his heart. Got into teaching him, loving him, training him, bringing him alongside, showing him the ropes, showing him the job. And here now time is gone, and the one that now Paul who said of Barnabas to John Mark, he's not good. Now, can I pause and put a little caveat here? Wasn't that said about Paul? Didn't they say of Paul he's not good? When his name was Saul? We don't believe he's saved. We don't want him with us. We don't believe he's saved. But it was Barnabas that brought him in. And here Paul is with Barnabas, and Paul says of John Mark, he's not good for the ministry. I wonder if one of the things that Barnabas says, why are you the pot calling the kettle black? You weren't welcomed in either. But I worked with you, and now I'm going to work with him. And so now time has passed, and Barnabas has worked with John Mark, and John Mark is now fit for the ministry. John Mark is now a comfort in the ministry for Paul. And he's now a fellow worker with him in the ministry. Here Paul is even saying, receive him. We don't hear much more about Barnabas himself, but we can see what Barnabas left behind. He left the John Mark to carry on the comfort giving. Open your Bible one more time. We're going to go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Now, this is the end of the 2 Timothy. It's believed that Paul's writing to Timothy, his beloved son in the Lord, and from what he writes in here is that Paul says it's soon time for my departure. It's as if he's kind of gotten word. Some people think that he got word that soon that it was going to be his turn to suffer that of being a martyr for the Lord. And history tells us that he's beheaded by the sword. Why the sword? Because he was a Roman citizen. He pleaded to have his case heard in Rome. Thus they took him to Rome. And there in Rome, he was in prison for many years. And now it's come back around. I don't know why the emperor would be taking his life. Probably got tired of hearing him preach and teach and sending notes to him. Some people thought that even some of the soldiers had gotten saved. And now the soldiers, or even Saul and Paul himself, is now witnessing to the emperor. I don't know why they're putting him to death, other than the fact he's dying for the cause of Christ. And here Paul gets word that his time is soon to end. It's almost time for my departure. He's writing these last words of his life. And what does he write? Who does he write about? 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, only Luke is with me. Period. New sentence. A command. Take. Take Mark. And bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Take Mark. I need Mark now. I need him. I didn't want him years ago, but I sure do need him now. I said years ago that he was not good for the ministry, but I need him now. As Paul is ending his life, he knows his time is short. One of the last ones he wants to see is that same one he said he's not fit for the ministry, he's not good. But now he's good. He's more than good. He's not desired. He's more than desired. He's called upon in this last waning hour of his life. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Everybody else is gone. Everybody else has been sent out. Everybody else is either in ministry or has left me. But Luke is with me, period. Take Mark, please. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me. For the ministry. Ministry, as I told you, is a word. It's a Greek word for ministry. Dikania. I don't know any Greek. I just try to read it out of the book. Amen. But the meaning is in the position of a servant for the work of the Lord. There's a work for us to do. The work is great. And the work needs servants to do the job. If there are no servants, the jobs go undone. Jason showed us some pictures. You might have heard him talking about a church nearby, but I can show you many others of some churches nearby, not nearby, but around. I have a preacher friend of mine, Tim McCoy. Preacher, if you ever heard of Tim McCoy, he was at one of the meetings down there in Port Huron. And he pastored a church just outside of Detroit. He had to close his doors. The people left the church. They had to go find other work else places. And so his numbers dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. He couldn't keep it open. He couldn't take care of it. He had to close the doors. And he said, Brother Tim, I just don't know what to do. And I was in no position to do anything at that moment. But Brother Tim, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. It's all I can do for you. And so he had to close the doors and put a for sale sign up front. What happens when a place like that happens? Well, I'll tell you what happens is that it starts to deteriorate. The grass starts to grow. Nobody mows it anymore. Vandals start getting inside of it and start breaking windows and having fun inside. There's nobody there. There's no alarm. There's nothing to for anybody to notice that anything had occurred. Why? Because it's an empty building. It's an empty building. How did it happen? Every empty building has its own story. And they're not pretty. They're rather sad. But John Mark could have been like one of those buildings. A John Mark could have been just like one that had been cast out and left for nothing. And nobody helped him. Nobody encouraged him in the Lord. But somebody did, a Barnabas. And when Barnabas came, now the Apostle Paul says, take Mark and bring him with thee. Bring him with thee. May it be said of you, that if there was a need, someone would say, but take John Mark, for he is profitable unto me. Take her. She's profitable unto me. Bring her. Bring them. I need them. And God needs you. Your church needs you. This community needs you. They need to take you to take what you have learned in the Lord here through the years that you've been coming here. And to be a John, and to be a John Mark, yes, but to be a Barnabas, to share it. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to think for just a moment before we go to prayer. Just think for a moment. Question number one: has there been a Barnabas in your life? Has there been a Barnabas in your life to help you? Maybe it was a mom. Maybe it was a dad. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a brother. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was just one of the guys at the church. It was a great encouragement to you. Now, who are you helping? Who are you being a Barnabas to? Who are you encouraging to come to the church? Who are you helping to disciple? If you would work this year to get one person to come, you yourself, one person to be a Barnabas too, this time next year you will be double in size. That's a good thing. Don't look what anybody else is doing. What are you doing? Who are you helping? Who are you encouraging in the Lord for good? It may be someone like John Mark to whom others have said he's not good. Maybe somebody said of you, you're not good. But God saw otherwise. And a Barnabas thought otherwise. And now you're here. And now you're growing. And now you're going for the Lord. Now tonight, as we go to the Lord in prayer, how's about your heart? Is it right with God? Isn't that the main thing? To keep the main thing, the main thing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You for tonight. We thank You for Your blessings to us. I pray, Lord, You guide us in this time, in this hour. Here, as we see the end, dear Lord, of this man's life and what he gave, and dear Lord, those which remained unto the truth. Lord, may we see what are we leaving behind. May those footprints that we leave behind lead others to Christ. Lead others to faithfulness. Lead others in the path of helping and comfort, and in the path of being a Barnabas, of helping people to get from point A to point B. Lord, help us as we reflect now upon a person that was a blessing to me in our life and in our lives. And Lord, help us not to forget and to be thankful. And then in turn, share that again with another and then another to create and to work with, and to disciple new Barnabases. Lord, forgive me when I whine. Forgive me when I whine. I'm born again, and heaven is mine. Lord, we love You, we praise You, we pray You bless this invitation time. With our heads bowed and eyes closed,